Here it is. The final frontier of EE goodness. Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. Hi there, I'm Amelia Dalton, and this week, my friends, we're bringing the goods. Literally. In fact, yep, we're talking about logistics, distribution, and getting your next design to market quicker than ever before. My guest is Mike Bussman from Avnet. Check it out. Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure, Amelia.
All right, Mike, let's talk about distribution and logistics. So how do you see distribution and logistics partnerships evolving over the past 10 years or so?
Well, I love chatting about this topic. So if I start at a really high level, I think in a general statement, you know, we see just increasing touch points along the value stream where it creates a lot of opportunities for us. And it's becoming much less of a traditional kind of buy material, sell material value proposition. And I think one of the big enablers or drivers is all of our partners and us are seeing significant margin compression. You know, I think margin compression causes people to look at where can they take waste out of, you know, their solutions, out of the value stream. And real simply, I think that in a lot of our cases, we create a great opportunity for our partners to turn what traditionally have been fixed cost to them into variable cost. And this manifests itself in our world in a whole lot of different ways. And in fact, in almost everything we do across the distribution and the logistics solutions that we provide. And I'll give you some examples. The value add statement is kind of the mantra here. And if I start and think about our very traditional warehouses, we see things going on there that are, again, indicative of our partners reducing their internal cost, asking somebody to create a solution for them. And again, we see that start to manifest itself in things that we just didn't do traditionally. We do things in our distribution centers now, like incoming inspection, receiving inspection. We do that at the bequest and on behalf of our partners. And again, it's not something that traditionally was done at a distribution or a logistics partner. We tended to ship the material to an end destination. They then validated they had known good material. The benefits to our customers are, again, they convert a fixed cost to a variable cost. It allows them to do other things with their resources. And by the way, it also ensures that when they receive material, they have known good material. We have simply performed a validation much, much earlier in the process. Another way that it's showing up in our distribution centers is we have things now in our industry that are called flow-down requirements. So a lot of the highly technical verticals, things like defense and aerospace, things like healthcare and life sciences, they have many, many requirements that are quite technical about the material. And traditionally, they maintained all that expertise. Traditionally, they performed all those validations within their captive shops. Now, many times, our partners have started to hollow out those internal capabilities as a result of ongoing pressures on cost. It creates a great opportunity for us to be that solution provider, that expert partner to provide those solutions. You know, and again, the list in the distribution centers is long. We see increasing complexity in labeling, in packaging, in inspection areas. So that's one of our major areas. Another area within the logistics partnerships is we see more and more value add requirements or requests in what we would call embedded solutions, or maybe a better way to think of it for the audience is production solutions. So we are doing more and more assembly of products. We assemble, we configure, we test, we do direct order fulfillment, again, at the bequest of our partners, out to their end customers. And again, 10 years ago, distribution and logistics partners did not provide that as a service. And then if I extend that thought, just kind of the last leg here, we're seeing increased need for value-add services way down the value stream. Things like install products in the field, remarketing products, recycling products. So if I'd step way, way back, I would tell you across the entire value chain that we participate in, anything that's got a need for technical capabilities or value-add components is becoming more and more predominant for us. And I'll give you a very, very specific phenomenon where this really, really kind of pulls us all together. The ongoing surge in demand out there for what we would call converged and hyper-converged solutions. These are some of these third platform kind of technology enablers like big data, analytics, cloud computing, mobility. Those converged and hyper-converged solutions kind of show everything I just talked about. Big pressures on getting a product to the marketplace in a hurry, big pressures on cost, And those partners are looking for distribution logistics partners who can really help them meet their needs and get their products to the market. That's a big summary, but as I think about the last 10 years, to me, that encapsulates what's really changing in our environment.
So what roles do cost to serve and total cost of ownership play in supporting profitable fulfillment?
The way that we think about it, we're a very, very low margin environment that all of us are participating in. Most of us, you know, our customers, our suppliers, certainly the distribution partners that are out there, we're in this kind of 5%, sub 5% operating margin environment. And in that environment, 10 and 20 basis point kind of improvements are very, very hard earned. So it takes an intense focus day to day on finding incremental improvements. Start with that. I think that the total cost of ownership really starts to show up when we talk with our partners, when we talk about their ability to start to migrate these fixed costs over to variable costs. And they can do that a lot of ways. It could be space they free up. It could be resources or manpower that they free up to go do other things, like market the product or develop the product. It could be infrastructure, technical capabilities that they maybe can start to, again, modify their spend there and rely on us to perform those capabilities. Now, how do we talk about that, I think, is really, really critical. Our partnerships with customers that are most successful are conversations that look at the total value stream. They talk about total cost of ownership. And the real spirit here is somewhere we collaboratively have to figure out how to eliminate waste out of the current solution. I find it intriguing because I'm seeing more and more evidence now of a lot of the kind of the Lean Sigma, operational excellence, continuous improvement philosophies and language showing up in the world that we work in. And I find it intriguing because those kind of words and philosophies from a little more of a traditional manufacturing environment. I think it's indicative of the fact that distribution becoming more of a value-add provider and partner, it starts to look a little more like traditional manufacturing environments. And again, I think form follows function. Very logical that we're talking about more things like Lean and Lean Sigma. Now, in our space, it's really, really critical, and the magic starts to occur when we really work with our customers, our suppliers, we mutually sit down and we comprehend and we appreciate the true cost of doing business. And this is the spirit of the total cost of ownership, because inevitably there are a lot of hidden costs that I'll say any one of those people, one of those constituencies, probably doesn't appreciate. If we sit down, again, as a collaborative team, we look across the total value stream of the solution, understand the total cost of ownership, that is when we start to find where there's some waste or some opportunity. And those dialogues are best enabled usually when we get a little bit higher in an organization. Very traditional purchasing relationship, I'll say at a purchasing agent level, they tend to be driven by the metrics that they are measured by. And a traditional purchasing agent is very focused on the price of a specific unit. If we get a little bit higher in our thought process and extend the cost of value stream, then we start thinking about what are all the associated costs to get kind of the right part to the right place at the right quality level at the right time. And those are the kind of conversations that really are the spirit of total cost of ownership. So I think the role of cost to serve or total cost of ownership is it allows all of the partners in the solution to sit down, take waste out. The real magic is eliminate costs, eliminate waste, not just push it around between each other, but take it out of the equation. And I think, again, the magic of total cost of ownership is it is an enabling conversation to do just that.
So, Mike, starting the journey to accomplish business goals can be daunting, to say the least. What are the top factors companies should consider when designing a fulfillment network to meet the demands of the future?
I think you have to start with the concept of this total cost of ownership. You start with that as kind of a framework for success. I think that there's three primary areas people should consider when they're designing this fulfillment network. And the first thing that I tend to think about is place a premium on partnership. You know, more and more as businesses are globalizing, it's really critical to find a distribution and a logistics partner who can provide this unified, sustainable, transportable solution around the globe. I also think it's equally important that you find a partner who can really serve as your single point of contact or your single solution for more and more and more of your extended value chain. So finding a partner who can really offer this total solution, you know, as early as design, as late as e-cycling or recycling, but a total solution partner allows you to spend more time on innovation, on design, on marketing your products out to the marketplace, which are critical elements to the continued success of any company in today's technology marketplace. So first, place a premium on the partnership. Second, I think you need to look for partners who allow you to kind of break down all the borders. Again, today's world, critical to employ a design anywhere, build anywhere strategy, or to find a partner that can help you enable that. The demands move so rapidly now of where a product is created, where the supply chain comes from, where the end product needs to go to, that somebody who can work across borders is extremely critical. Now, this requires finding a partner that will help you move your business seamlessly around the world. End markets move to a new continent, or the new total cost solution changes, you need a partner who can adapt along with you. So, real simply, choose a fulfillment network or design a fulfillment network that can leverage both regional strengths, global scale, and scope to deliver industry-leading results. The final one that I really think about is demand global processes and tools. Even the best processes break if the systems don't cross oceans or borders. So again, when you're designing this optimum fulfillment network, find a partner who's got global systems in place, tools to support the needs, no matter where you are in the world. So the tools connect you across the world. I think making global processes, tools is a priority. It ultimately will reduce complexities in operations, and ultimately it will accelerate time to market, and ultimately it will reduce the cost of getting a marketplace solved around the world.
All right, Mike, it's time for your off-the-cuff question now. I know you're a Cardinals fan, so what's your outlook on their chances for next year's Super Bowl?
That was a much kinder question than what I thought you were going to ask me, which is how do I feel today, which would be very, very disappointed, stating the obvious. I actually am very optimistic about next year. I think the team's got a great core. I think they have great leadership. You know, I actually think maybe this year was they got farther down the path, and I actually think maybe the disappointment at the end is going to be a pretty big motivation for them as we go into next year.
Excellent. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Mike.
Thank you, Amelia. It's been my pleasure.
Just like the good old supply chain, we've all had an experience or two with brushed motors, right? Whether or not that meant dismantling your mom's blender or your dad's Walkman in the basement while the babysitter wasn't looking. Sorry about that, guys. Most of us, even if we've tinkered in the realm of brushed motors once or twice, wouldn't call ourselves experts, right? Well, for all you non-expert brushed motor engineers out there, one of our most recent Chalk Talks is for you. In Brushed Motor Applications, I sit down with David Witt from Infineon and talk about the finer points of brushed DC motor theory and even check out some helpful motor control solutions from Infineon. And heck, even if you are a brushed motor expert, check it out and let me know how we did. You can watch this episode of Chalk Talk by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, by heading on over to YouTube, keyword eejournal, or by navigating on over to the on-demand section of eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can also monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, okay, sure, you can join our circle on Google Plus. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of March 11th, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.